To Books, Kids, and Creations, a part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. I am your host, Tracy Bloom, and I feature people from around the world who inspire future generations with their work. And oh my goodness, holy moly, today I'm speaking with New York Times best-selling author Patrick Carman, who is presently on book tour, and he is speaking to us about his wonderful new book, Bonkers, the Terror in Jenny's Armpit. Patrick, thank you for being here.
Well, what a nice introduction. Thank you for having me. I was telling you before we started recording that I am in the middle of a cold because I'm on a tour that's 100 schools in 7 states, and I haven't toured since before COVID. So all of my immunity vanished, and I'm on school number 71 today, and I think I've been sick for about half the tour. So my apologies, my voice doesn't normally sound this strange, but I do get the low stuff going, so that's good.
Well, thank you for
Normally,
being here.
I need to find a shower and do some singing. This is a great singing voice.
I miss that gift in my life. The singing gift was not given to me, but I just am so excited to have you here today. One, because your new book is fantastic. I'm sitting here holding it. I just could not put it down. It's such a fun book. So before we get into how this book came to be, do you want to maybe talk about how you got started as a writer? I mean, because you've published quite a few books and you've visited with thousands of schools and you've sold millions of books. So how did you get started?
Let's see, how did this madness begin so long ago? 22 or 23 years ago? So my first publisher was Scholastic, and I talked them into, instead of doing a traditional tour, because I really liked visiting schools, I talked them into getting a tour bus
Cool.
for 6 months. And so actually I penciled it all out, and it ended up being less expensive to do that than it would be to fly me all over the place. So my kids and my wife and I, we all hit the road for quite a long time. That was about two or th maybe 300 schools in that first tour. And we
Wow.
just went all over and we schooled the kids. Well, I didn't. My wife schooled the kids in the bus. So we did bus schooling, if you, I guess is what it'd be called. And we just had a really good time. And since then, I guess in a way that has kind of been my secret sauce. I thankfully enjoy talking to kids at schools. And so it's every time I put a book out, I'm always going to a lot of schools. I've been to over 3,000 schools at this point. So I think that's helped me have a long writing career. And the funny thing is, Tracy, I learned so much by being on the ground in schools. Because you can see, from coast to coast. So most of my tours are either West Coast or East Coast, or I'll go over by Chicago sometimes. But basically, you go to a bunch of schools across a bunch of different states, and you can kind of see what they're consuming that's not a book, and what's keeping them from reading, and what they're into. And that kind of stuff can really help to create concepts and pacing and for the time. So if you were to go back and read the very first book I ever wrote and then read this new book, they're pretty different. They're pretty different. That first book was a long time ago, and it's a lot slower pace. And I think kids were able to do that more easily back then. And funny, strange, fast-paced is I'm trying to reach the kids who just would not normally want to pick up a book. So that's kind of always been my thing. So anyway, yeah, that the I've probably over-answered that question.
Well, no, I mean it's interesting because authors, I think, especially I'm sure when you go to schools, I'm betting that kids ask you, what's your favorite book you've written and which is your least favorite book that you've written? And the answer I tend to hear from others is that, there's not really a least favorite, but you can see the difference between how you used to write and how you write now. And so it seems like you're adapting for how kids are learning. So you're taking into consideration not just what's inspiring you and what you might think is funny, but you're really soaking in when you're going to these schools what they're looking for and what they're excited about, right?
I've always been like that, and I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but I've always, I mean, if you go back and look at some of the stuff that I've done, I'm almost always trying to meet kids halfway. They do a lot of non-traditional things. So I was part of that first wave of 39 Clues Writers, which was a, you know, that was a book and trading cards and a big online experience.
Yeah.
And then I did a series called Skeleton Creek that's a book and a movie kind of at the same time, where kids read part of it and then they go online and they put in a password and they watch part of the book and then they go back and forth like that all the
That's
way
so
through. The
cool.
idea being that, yeah, the idea being that, you know, there are lots and lots of great, great books for kids who are great readers, and I'm just trying to meet kids who are struggling with reading, meet them halfway and give them a kind of a door, a gateway into books. So Bonkers is the same way. I have an animation studio, so we built a big YouTube channel that has all kinds of animated shows on it that are about the characters, and there's a so they can go in and they can experience that first. So for a lot of kids, if they can go in and be like, I think I want to watch a little bit of a cartoon. And the videos on the YouTube channel all point back to, hey, you should really be reading the book. You'd have more fun. That it's
Right.
designed to kind of get them interested in reading a book that only has words in it, which can be a real challenge for, I mean, of the 3,000 schools I've been to, probably half of them are Title I schools. So I go to a lot of schools that no writers have ever been to these schools.
Oh.
And their kids, a lot of those kids are struggling with, you know, with reading. And it's because there's so much coming at them. So yeah, so I'm always looking for ways to meet kids halfway. I still write what I want to, I feel like I'm writing what I want to write. There's stories, of course, that I love and want to do, but I try to do them in a way that is going to reach the biggest number of kids who need to be reached.
Yeah. Well, you certainly put out a fantastic, you always put out fantastic work, but this new book is so funny. And it is fast paced. And I think to your point, you probably wrote that way to keep the pages turning, right? So why the armpit? That's the question.
Well, I think this is one of those things where it was either the best or the worst title for a book that I've ever come up with. And I can't decide which, I still can't decide which it is. But when my editor heard it, he was like, no, dude, that's a really funny, you, that's, don't change it. That's great. So the terror in Jenny's armpit, I don't know. It was just a very strange idea. I wanted to write, R.L. Stine, Bob Stine is a friend of mine. And he did those Goosebumps books for so long, where he was doing a Goosebumps book, and people don't really know this or don't remember maybe, but he was doing a Goosebumps book every month for like 3 years. There was a new one like every 30 days. It was crazy how many of those were coming out. And you know, they're a certain kind of format. They're not designed to teach kids things. They're designed to just get kids reading. And so I was like, I want to do something kind of like that, but I want what I'm going to do to be really funny and not scary, but more funny and strange. And so that title, The Terror in Jenny's Armpit, fits the mold, because kids, so when I go to schools and we talk about, kids immediately get that, oh, this is going to be a weird, funny book. And so it kind of, it leads with the headline, and that's good. But that's, I have no idea. I came up with the title of that book first and then figured out what would happen.
And so did you have a general outline for the whole book when you sat down to write, or what is your writing style like when it comes to creating something like this?
Yeah, so there's two things that I do that might be a little bit different than other writers, and that is one, I do a lot of word pictures, and which turns out to be a really good lesson for kids too. So before I write a book, I first just come up with lots of things, characters and places and maps and buildings and all sorts of things that end up usually taking 20 or 30 of these, what I call them word pictures, where it's just something that you draw and there's a few words on there about what's important about this thing that you drew. And newsflash, I can't draw at all. I'm not an artist at all. And so they're just very basic drawings. But because I've given myself some reminders on there, then I can take all those pieces of paper and stick them on the wall in front of me when I write a book. And it kind of doesn't write itself, but it really helps to be able to do that early processing, because it kind of builds a lot of the parts of the story that you know you're going to want to go back to. And then, and it's a lot of fun. That's the most enjoyable part of the writing process, is just drawing and coming up with cool stuff that you think is funny or is a good storytelling element. And then I'll write an outline that tends to be, for a book that size, that's not a very big book. This first Bonkers book's pretty short. It's like 50,000 words or something. So I'll do an outline, but then, this has happened every single time I've written a book, from the very first one I wrote until this, I've written 44 books. And every one of them is the same thing. I'll write an outline, and then I'm kind of like a, if you can imagine a line on a piece of paper, I'm kind of veering off the top and veering down to the bottom and veering way up off the top and down the bottom. But I'm somehow kind of managing to stay sort of on the outline because the thing just kind of goes where it goes. But ultimately, I end up going where I plan to go. The outline just tends to be more of a an idea of what to write, not what to write. So yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. And this is book one in the series. And then on the back of the book, there's a link that says watch the animated show. And there's a link to go watch the animation piece of it. So did you get a say in what the animation would look like, or how did that work for you?
Yeah, so I had to start an animation company.
And
So
that's
a
how you
couple,
do it.
this is also one thing. I think I've almost always been a little bit of an outsider, in terms of the way that I do things. I'm a little less willing to just sort of do things the way they've always been done. And so I just really wanted to make an animated show. I've been going out to Los Angeles for years trying to get stuff made and never could get anything made. And through that experience, have met a lot of folks that I really enjoyed. There was one guy whose name is Joe Purdy. He was one of the co-creators of the TV show Hey Arnold,
Oh,
and
yeah.
lots of other animated shows, and Llama Llama and Rugrats and all these shows. So he and I became really good friends. This may have been like 10 years ago, and a couple years ago, I said, you know what? We should just start our own little animation studio and just make our own stuff. And he's like, okay. So so we've got it funded, and so we just got to decide everything. And just to be clear, Tracy, these are not like multi-million dollar Netflix animated shows. These are like YouTube. They're simpler than
So
that. But they're,
fun.
for kids, they don't really care. They say it's a good story and they enjoy the characters. I mean, it looks perfectly fine. Looks like animation, but it's not like huge bells and whistles. Yeah, so we just so I hired the artist, the same person that did the animation illustrations, also does the illustrations for the book covers. So I got to kind of pick all that stuff. And
Awesome.
yeah, I just thought, you know what? It'd be great for kids to be able to, it's just another way for them to, a gateway into reading. So
That's so cool. And that's, the whole thing of, sometimes you hit so many closed doors and then you're like, oh, maybe I just need to, build my own door and go through that. So
Yeah, I've done that one too many times. Sometimes it works out, and sometimes I just lose all the money. But that's okay.
you're like, man.
Luckily, I have a very supportive wife. We've had enough success that I have had plenty of failures in those 44 books. Some have been great, and some have been like, didn't catch. That just happened. So.
Yeah. Well, at least you did it, And I'm sure
There
you
you
had
go.
fun doing each one of them too.
I
Speaking of.
do. I really do. And I appreciate everything that publishers do. It's a lot of stuff I don't want to do. And there are, as you know, because you've done this, there's a lot of machinery going on behind these books, and many parts of it I don't really want to deal with. So I appreciate them. They're very much a big part of the process. I'm just always trying to do something where I write outside the lines, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. We'll see, we just kind of see every time.
So without giving away any spoilers for the book, can you maybe talk about one of your favorite moments or parts of this story?
This whole story takes place in a little town called Nevermind, kind of in the middle of nowhere. They call it Nevermind because they want people to just pass on through. There's just nothing to see here, which of course is not true. And if you lived in this little town, then you would know about a building right on the edge of town called Colossal Chemistry, where a whole bunch of mad scientists were working on things they probably shouldn't have been. And then the mad scientists disappear. So by the time the story starts, they've vanished. And it's just sort of an abandoned lab, and all these strange things start to leak out into the town of Nevermind. That's what sets up like 20 books. That's a kind of a thing where I like to come up with ideas that are like a big little idea. You can say it pretty fast, but you could put a lot of stories into that. So the first book, The Terror in Jenny's Armpit, is because they go to this lab, her and her two best friends. They go to this lab and they find something that, through a series of unfortunate happenings, ends up in her armpit. And it grows and it grows. And pretty soon she's pushing it around in a wheelbarrow, and it's completely ridiculous. And then it gets as big as a bus, and they're trying to get rid of this thing. But yeah, there's look, it's a there's three friends that are really different, but they're really good for each other, both in terms of like building a story around them, and also just because they need these kind of people in each other's lives. And the three of them go on this big adventure, and at some point, trying to think of one part that I would really want to, like, but there's a chapter in this book called 11 Seconds, which is short, but it's got to be one of the funniest things I've ever. I whenever I'm laughing when I'm writing, that's a good sign. And my wife's down the hall going, "Are you writing something that you think is funny?" I'm like, "I actually think it's pretty funny." So this was one where she somehow managed to end. I won't say how, but she ends up way up in the air, and it's the 11 seconds that it takes for her to land to come down, and she goes like second by here, second number one, and all the things that were happening, and it's just super silly. And so there's a lot of just funny situational things that happen also.
That's awesome. I love your characters, and you do such a phenomenal job of, character building. You instantly know how this character moves and thinks, like within the first couple of pages. So you're just such a talented writer, and I'm so excited that I had the opportunity to speak with you about this series. And it seems like, to your point, you set it up for many, many, many books to come in this bonkers series. So that's just amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. I sure appreciate it. I'm not, this is not rocket science. I'm having a good time. My agent, who I've had forever, the same agent since I started this, he always is saying to me, "You're really good at tapping into the 10-year-old version of yourself." And that's a, I said, I think you're right. He's like, "That's actually not that e easy to do. It's hard to get that right." I'm like, "I don't even really think about it." So apparently I'm still a large child, but I don't ever see this. Yeah, I don't ever see like this as some kind of amazing thing. I like to write. It's fun. Kids seem to be responding to it. I really like to get out and see kids and get them excited about reading, because reading is so important for their futures. And beyond that, we're just having a good time.
Well, I love the book. I love everything you do, and I will be posting links at the end of the video and in the comments here of where people can find your work. You have a very lengthy portfolio of books. I mean, you've been writing for a long time, so there's lots of books. So once you go through this one here, this bonkers book, go check out all the rest of Patrick's books because they're also very incredible. So Patrick, thank you so much for being here today and spending time with me. And is there anything else you wanted? Oh my gosh, I almost forgot. I have one more question for you.
Yeah. Hit
If
me.
you were ready, if you were going to give any kind of advice for future generations, what would that advice be?
Just general advice. General advice for future generations. Probably listen to the climate people. It's true. It's going to be a real challenge to get this figured out, but I don't think the adults are going to get it figured out. So if you're a kid right now, as you grow up, really pay attention to that stuff. It really matters. Take care of Mother Earth. It's important.
Yes, that's very, very good words to live by and words to take action on as well. So, yes, thank you. We'll
Well, I
have
sure enjoyed talking to you. Yeah, thank you for this. And if you need anything else, just reach on out. I'd be happy to talk again.
Yeah, great. Thank you and enjoy the rest of your tour. Have a lot of fun and stay healthy.
All right, thanks a lot.